The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you do give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I have a conflicted relationship with ashes. My father was a heavy smoker. I grew up in a house with ashtrays littering every surface, and he smoked in the car with the windows rolled up. Yeah. I hated that the most because I was easily susceptible to car sickness. Time and time again, the ashtray in the car would be pulled out, and he would turn on the air conditioner or the heater, and ashes would just spew everywhere. It was disgusting. I've never smoked anything, so I really dislike the film Left Behind from ashes. The strange thing, though, is that I do love the notion of what is left after a good burn. Controlled burns in a forest reduce the likelihood of hotter and more unmanageable fires. They improve wildlife habitat, stimulating the germination of desirable forest trees, such as sequoia, that require heat from fire to open their cones to disperse seeds. It's all part of a natural cycle of life and death and life again. But there's also something very natural and comforting to me about the ashes, or cremains as they are called, of our departed loved ones. This may just be an odd quirk of mine. As a priest, I have more experience with human ashes than most people, as I have held them, felt their weight, buried them, scattered them. My own mother's ashes are prominently displayed in my home. I see them every day, several times a day, and they make me long for her. Several years ago, I buried the ashes of a full-term, stillborn baby. As you can imagine, the parents were destroyed and imagined no hope. But as I was pouring the baby's ashes into the earth, a memorial garden, their 3-year-old son pointed out what we all needed to hear. Look, Mama, our buried treasure. Yes, treasure indeed. The miracle of God's creative force is made possible by dirt, the good earth, the ashes of our beginning and our end. Ash Wednesday reminds us that we are to comprehend death not as an ending, but as a point on an unending continuum. With every step, we should commune with it as part of everyone and everything that has ever lived and died on it and in it. Our mothers and fathers, our beloved brothers and sisters, our friends. Dust to dust. The Quran includes a powerful account of the creation of humanity. When God brings forth humanity from the fecundity of the earth, the divine command to the holy angels is to bow down and honor that which has been made in the holy image. The angels prostrate themselves before Adam and Eve with one exception. The greatest angel, the angel of light, refuses to bow. He says he will not bow to what comes out of the earth, out of the black molded loam of the earth's soil, and thus brings the falseness of Satan. He chooses the path of hubris, of lifting himself up over the earth, of positioning himself above the other. This 7th century story points to the heart of much of our brokenness today and why we're now here, coming to get clean with our sins. We have refused to honor what comes out of the earth, our bodies, the life of every nation, the origin of species, the sacredness of our natural resources, the oneness from which all of life comes. John Scotus Eriagena, in the 9th century, said that falseness is that which seeks to be what it is not. That which seeks to be what it is not. We have forgotten who we are, born of the earth. We have lived the delusion of thinking that we could pollute the earth and our souls. We have believed the lie that we could be happy and ignore the hunger of the other. We have followed the falseness of seeking to be something other than what we truly are, one with the earth, one with God, and one with each other. The ash cross that I will make on your forehead, that Maggie will make on your forehead, is another powerful symbol. It reminds us of our mortality, our creatureliness, that we are formed of the dust, and to dust shall we return. It tells the story of our ancestor Adam, who was formed of the earth, Adamah. This play on words is intentional in the Hebrew. He is our ancestor who said no to God, who fell away and chose his will over divine will. Yet the ashes symbolize more than this one truth about our humanity. That these ashes are drawn in the shape of the cross proclaims the other truth about our humanity, that slavery to sin and hubris, to arrogantly lifting ourselves over the other and opposing the will of God, has been crucified by Jesus and overcome in the resurrection. What I mean to say is that we are no longer bound by this inevitability of choosing against the will of God, no longer doomed to alienation and fractured relationship, but are indeed freed to live into the fuller reality of our created being. The mark of the cross says that we honestly acknowledge the old life in Adam, who says no in one stroke, and yet proclaim the victory of new life in Christ, the second Adam, who says yes in the second stroke. The ash cross tells the story of our creation and our redemption. as you are marked with ashes, a new frame of mind can open up before you. Lent is a time of excavation, a time to go below the surface. It's not a time when you have to be filled with guilt, shame, or blame. It can be an adventurous time, a creative retreat, an unfolding journey to Calvary, to the tomb, and through to Easter. As I see it, the only way to get there is to realize that we belong to the earth. We belong to the land. It's not the other way around. While this notion may be disturbing to some, it's also strangely beautiful. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, Alpha and Omega. I ask you to ponder your ashness and taste its sweetness. Amen.